What up, what up, what up? Back again for another great episode of FTN Fantasy Show. I am here with my guy, Mr. Matt Okada. It's your boy LQ, Real Deal Fantasy. You see the face, you know the case. But in this case, you are hearing my voice if you are in the audio sound, so you made the right choice. Okada, it's week 12, buddy. Playoffs are around the corner. There's some rosters in need. And we also have the trade deadline coming up, my boy. I mean, hey, we can still run back a trade in our one league. I mean, the trade that you sent me last was kind of garbage, brother, garbage. Ooh. We can run it back. We can run it back. I do want to make some moves before the trade deadline, brother. I mean, how you feeling?
Yeah, I also want to make some moves. I've got many leagues that are coming up on their trade deadlines. And, you know, a lot of people get complacent around this time of year, Laquan, because if they're doing well enough, like if they're high in the standings, they think, oh, I don't need to make any moves. But yeah. Here's the thing. All those teams that are like 4 and 11, so 4 and 6 or 5 and 5.
Yeah. The middle of the pack.
They're desperate to make moves, which means they're getting better. And if you just stay there running, you know, par for the course, you might get caught up on. So I'm trying to make moves no matter what.
I've seen both sides of this spectrum. Folks that are the 5 and 5 teams, some folks that are 7 and 3 right now. And that's why we have this great segment at the end of the pod called As the Fantasy Streets. One of the questions is a guy that's sitting at 7-3, and I'm like, hey, brother, I don't know if you make some moves, but then you sparked my interest of, like, you don't want to get complacent. You want to make the right moves if you can to make your team even stronger. So I look at it like this, man. Okada, you have the amazing hand and pen to paper when you come to write these articles, man. And I know you got one coming up, but we are here to address now some of your trade moves for week 12. Because, folks, the trade deadline is coming up. This is real in fantasy because now this will be your team after the deadline that you are taking to the playoffs and to the championship. Okada, help the fantasy streets, please.
All right. I'll give you some buys, some sells, and some holds, Laquan. And I'll hit you with some quickies so we can get through as many as possible so people know. Because, you know, there's not that many people with these players to sell, and not everybody who's got these players are willing to sell if you're trying to buy them. So the more news we can get out there, the better. On the buy front, I like going for James Cook. The main reason is he's been a little bit up and down a lot in recent weeks, actually. And he has suffered from a little bit of touchdown regression from last year, which is expected because he scored a ton last year, too much. But if you look at his game logs, you'll notice he only has 3 bad performances on the year, 3 single digit performances. They came in the Bills' 3 losses, and the Bills scored 20 or fewer points in all 3 of those games. Now, there's a little bit of a chicken and egg thing with that. Like, of course, the Bills are going to be better when Cook is better and when Cook is scoring. But then also, when the Bills are trailing, when they're losing, when they're not able to put up big points, you're not going to get as good a game from James Cook. And it particularly affects him as opposed to guys like CMC or Bijan, because he doesn't have that involvement in the passing game quite as much. He really does rely on those touchdowns. But I think the Bills are going to be better over down the stretch than they have been so far this year. And I mean, they're still 6-3. It's not like they're struggling. But I think they're going to win more games, probably more than 2/3 of their remaining games. And I think Cook is going to have a strong end to the year. So right now you can maybe get him for like, maybe high-end RB2 prices, maybe fringe RB1, and he could be a mid-range RB1 rest of year. So I really like him. I like that. Wide receiver. Yeah. Ooh, yeah, jump in with anything you've got.
No, I was about to say, I like that. I like that you started off with a premier player because, again, folks are in need of running backs right now. You got a lot of guys that are still iffy and returning back. We got news about Bucky Irvin. I mean, we had a guy, one of the reporters, that was going to make the rundown today, but we pivot to other things. But, man, Bucky Irvin was seen at practice again. And you got folks that are a little worried about Amari Hampton. Like, when is he getting a deadline of when he's coming back? So James Cook is definitely one of those guys that I would love to have as a acquisition on my rosters.
Spoiler alert, Laquan, I'm going for premier players across the board here, on the buy side at least, because that's what I'm not trying to pick up, you know, Jawan Jennings or something. Like, sure, he might contribute, but I'm looking for difference makers. So my buy at wide receiver, Nico Collins. This is very similar to James Cook, because Nico Collins has been a little bit down here and there, a little bit inconsistent. He has not scored a touchdown since week 5. Which makes his overall production look maybe worse than we should view it. But here's the thing. Last three games that he's played, 10 targets, 11 targets, 15 targets. And last week with Davis Mills throwing those targets, it was 136 yards on seven catches. The previous 2 weeks, not quite as good. But he's been building up. He had his bye early in the year in week six. It kind of maybe threw off a momentum a little bit. And he's got a great matchup this week in the Titans. And he's got the Raiders in week 16, which is another incredible matchup. And I just think he's going to be fed double-digit targets likely every week. And it's going to pan out to more fantasy points than we've seen recently. So this is the kind of guy where I think you're buying on opportunity and you're going to get the payoff. That the person who's had Collins and hasn't seen the payoff is willing to sell him low because of, if that makes sense.
That is so smart. Attack those lead mates that are questioning the talent, questioning the situation. And I think Nico Collins is a perfect game changer for rosters right now. Hit me with a running back. Hit me with another tight end, a running back, wide receiver. What you got next?
All right, I'm going to hit you with a tight end duo. This is going to be very tough to pull off. But I'm just going to throw it out there and see what you can pull off. I think Brock Bowers and Trey McBride are both trade targets right now. It's really tough to pull off because these guys are mega, mega elite. And to convince someone to trade them to you, you pretty much either have to trade them a like mid-range tight end one and a piece. So like maybe someone like Tyler Warren, maybe someone like Jake Ferguson and something else. Or you have to hope that one of those players, one of these tight ends, is on a team who has another tight end that's producing. And so they feel like they can sell McBride or Bowers and still be okay. But this is the reason I'm targeting these two guys in particular. Well, first of all, I want a difference-making tight end on my fantasy team. It matters so much down the playoff stretch. But with these guys in particular, Bowers is coming off a terrible week. Absolutely, inexplicably horrific, bad game where he had one catch on three targets. Mind you, he still took that catch for 31 yards because he's been
insane,
so explosive when he's been healthy. But the three targets, it was this game against the Broncos. And Geno Smith was getting obliterated. He could barely walk. It was just a disaster. I don't think we're going to get that down the stretch. If they at some point make a move to Kenny Pickett, I honestly wouldn't even mind that. Regardless, this is the lowest point Bowers is going to be for the rest of the season because he's not going to have three targets again in a game. And he doesn't have a great schedule. But it doesn't matter with Bowers. Like he's going to get targets and he's going to be good. So if you can get him right now at a discount because of that last week performance, I would try to do it. It would be a sick move. However, the real big one is going for Trey McBride.
Whew.
Trey McBride is the best tight end in fantasy. Yeah. it's going to be hard to do. He's been unbelievable. And without that dud game like Bowers. So to get Trey McBride, you have to send a haul probably. However, first of all, with Marvin Harrison banged up right now, Trey McBride is going to be like a wide receiver one level talent for the foreseeable future. Okay. But then, and this is like sneakily a big part of this, Trey McBride is going to help carry you to the fantasy championship, Laquan. In the fantasy championship in week 17, do you know who he plays?
It ain't the Bengals.
It's the Bengals.
Oh, my God, it is. Let's go.
Oh, baby. Laquan.
Christmas has come early, folks. Laquan. Let's go. Make the trade.
Trey McBride is going to score 50 fantasy points in your fantasy championship.
No way.
The Bengals are just falling over and letting tight ends run over them. McBride is the best in fantasy. See what you can do to get him. Like I said, it will be hard.
Hold on, babe, I know what I want for Christmas. I want Trey McBride championship. I want Trey McBride. Oh my God.
I'm telling you.
Lock it in.
It's going to be hard, but try to pull it off.
I don't care. I'm sending the toe, my left eye, and the ear to go get Trey McBride, folks. Let's go.
All right. I'll hit you with a couple sells, Laquan. We got all the good stuff out of the way. Let me hit you with a couple sells. These ones are going to be less interesting, less exciting, but so I can be quicker on them too. Aaron Jones. I have no interest in playing Aaron Jones. He just had a great week. So people are going to think maybe he's going to be something. I think this Minnesota backfield is cooked. I think it's in in bad shape, and that's not a that's not a reference to former Vikings Dalvin running back Cook? Dalvin Cook. Yes, but Aaron Jones just had 14.4 fantasy points. He had 9 carries, Laquan. The week before that, he had 9 carries. The week before that, he had 5 carries. These are his 3 games since coming back. He's been involved in the passing game, but I just don't think it's enough to make up for this rushing workload because he's been overly efficient the last couple weeks, and I don't think that's going to hold. He is past his prime. He is always dealing with injury, and I do not think he can hold this 6, 7, 8 yards per carry he's been putting up the last couple weeks. So when that starts to come down, his workload is not enough to maintain RB2 value. And if you can sell him at RB2, even high-end RB3 value, based off these last couple of weeks of like solid fantasy point production, I think this is the time to do it. I'm just trying to get off of this backfield entirely. I'm trying to get off of much of this team, actually, except one player, which I may get to later.
I wonder.
And then the other sell I'll throw out there, and this one's going to be a little weird because of the injury situation, but I want to put it out there for people. Garrett Wilson. I don't know what you can get for Garrett Wilson at this point, but depending on your league, you may have a league where people buy off name a lot, and you may have a this is particularly for people who like need wins now, and there's a team who's maybe in first or second place who's like, I can survive for a few weeks until Garrett Wilson comes back. I'll trade for Garrett Wilson. If you need wins now, I'm selling Garrett Wilson, but more importantly, I don't think he's going to do anything when he comes back, Laquan. And this is why I'm willing to sell him, even at a low, low price. Like, he's going to, his price is going to be very depressed right now. But I'm willing to move him anyways, because when he comes back, this offense is embarrassing. It's not even an NFL passing offense, Laquan. It's been so gross. So if and when he comes back, which is probably in a month, I think people think he'll still he'll go back to being a wide receiver too. I just don't know that I believe that. And so if you can sell him for anything, any contributor right now, maybe you pick up someone like RJ Harvey. Maybe you go and get someone like Omarion Hampton, who's also not healthy. You'll probably have to throw in something else with Garrett Wilson to get Omarion Hampton.
What about maybe a Quentin like, Johnston? What about in that
Sure. Role? Yeah, like, Quentin Johnston. Maybe you're spending like Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt and Garrett Wilson to get Omarion Hampton or something like that. Anything that you can do, anything that you can get with Garrett Wilson to contribute for your lineup, I would try to make that move, especially if you're struggling for wins right now.
Word. I like that. And I do think your buy, your sells, your holds, and they're going to be valid. I know this is going to be in written form very, very soon, so please make sure you are checking out Matt Okada at Matt Okada. And listen, man, your cousin on the Seahawks has been going crazy, brother.
Let's go.
He got some Rams this week, brother. He's been hitting hard. He's been making plays. It's funny that now I'm starting to see him pop up a lot more on my screen and see him on the timeline. So that's pretty cool that your cousin is out there laying the wood, man. Now, let's get into more of like a player topic pool that is things that have been buzzing in the fantasy streets for week 11, right? We honestly got terrible news coming out of Duval with Travis Hunter season ending knee surgery. My boy is about to be out for the rest of the season, off to a promising start. We were robbed of this man after he blew up in that Rams game, man. Fantasy production was looking like wide receiver one tier. Okada, my question to you though, man, what is the way too early look ADP for the 2026 fantasy football season for redraft leagues?
Ooh. Okay. This is going to depend a lot on what the offseason chatter is about Brian Thomas Jr. Because if we hear at some point after the season, like, Brian Thomas Jr. was playing through a sore calf the entire year. That's why he sucked. Or Brian Thomas Jr. goes to receiver camp, learns how to catch the ball again. Or Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. take 3 months vacation to Hawaii together and find their chemistry again. Then I might feel a little bit better about Brian Thomas Jr. And that would make me a little bit less excited about Travis Hunter. However, the way things are going right now, I don't believe that Brian Thomas Jr. will be the wide receiver one on this team next year. I think it will be Travis Hunter. That might be a hot take, but it was already swinging that way middle of this season before Hunter's injury. Like you pointed out, Hunter was starting to produce at near wide receiver one levels in fantasy. That's because he was producing at wide receiver one levels on his own team, with Brian Thomas Jr. just being a disaster. So if the Brian Thomas Jr. temperature over the offseason goes bad, I think Travis Hunter will climb towards like low-end wide receiver two range, probably. Maybe somewhere like T. Higgins ends up. Somewhere around there, I would say. Maybe like early to mid rounds. If the Brian Thomas Jr. news is everything is fixed, he's the wide receiver one, we're gonna get him involved so much better this year, and Trevor Lawrence and him are back on the same page, and we want to get Travis Hunter playing more on defense, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of ways this could go downhill. Then I think Travis Hunter could be more of a mid-round pick, like 6th, 7th, 8th round pick, who's more in the wide receiver 3 range, not too far from where he was this year. So it's going to be one that's like predicated a lot on what happens over the offseason. We'll have to keep our eyes out, I think.
No, absolutely. It's one of those things you're going to have to monitor all offseason, because it's like the talent is there, the situation is there, the target volume can be there for him. But me, on the other side of this fence, where Okada, I was very vocal in wanting to avoid Travis Hunter for this exact reason, right? How is he going to stay durable playing both sides of the ball? Injured at practice, this was not something that happened in the game that of what I believe. I do think at the end of the day, you're still going to be taking this gamble and risk on a player that's returning back from injury, where we've seen plenty of games where the snap share and opportunity is not there for this young man because he's playing on the other side of the ball, which is defense. So I think that's constantly going to be the thing that's in the back of people's minds when they go and invest in a Travis Hunter. I will say, from a dynasty standpoint, do you believe that this is a buy now situation with Travis Hunter, where the bar can maybe lower of the deal that you can get off for him?
Yeah, it might depend a little bit on the seller and like what they're looking to do right now, because if they're looking to look to next year or they're rebuilding, they're not going to be interested in moving off Travis Hunter. But if they're looking to compete, yes, I would consider this a buy window for Travis Hunter. I'm not giving like, I don't think I'm giving, I probably would give a mid first. Maybe it would even be a high first, because that's where he went this year and we were starting to see the flashes.
Yeah.
So if you believe in Hunter, it's a risk to do that now, but it's something where if you could give a mid to low first, especially, I would be open to doing it. Yeah. By the way, Laquan, something to note, you want to talk about people to sell Garrett Wilson for? Parker Washington. Yeah. I like him a lot right now. I think he is a every week playable wide receiver in fantasy.
Playmaker. Okay, I've been screaming Parker Washington for the last two seasons because I've seen flashes of him showing up and showing out. Our great colleague at the NFL Network, Bucky Brooks, I was picking his brain last summer about Parker Washington possibly stepping into a role. He can operate out of the slot. He can operate out wide. This is versatility in a Liam Cohen offense. Bye, 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 bye. Absolutely.
Yeah, you might be able to sell Garrett Wilson for Parker Washington straight up, and I would do that.
I would do that. And folks, listen, I know the name value doesn't stack up to a Garrett Wilson, but look at the production. This guy's making plays on special teams. Okay. You put the ball in his hands, good things happen. Liam Cohen loves that in players. He loves the versatility. That's everything that is the disguise and mask of his offense, is versatility. And they just acquired Jacoby Myers. There's a lot they could do there, man. And listen, you made a huge posture notion that Brian Thomas Jr. may not be the wide receiver one next year. That sounds crazy today. It sounds crazy in week 11, but give it a couple more months, folks. I'll tell you, I'm on the same side with you, Okada, in this. Now, I want to move on to another wide receiver. Now, this has been one of the most frustrating things to deal with as a fantasy manager, to have AJ Brown on your roster in each and every single week. We are questioning, do we start this man? And he has the nerve to go on a stream. I don't know the young man's name that runs that stream. I am not familiar with your game, but we have AJ Brown getting BTA in a Madden game on a stream talking about if you have me in fantasy, get rid of me? Bro, the fantasy playoffs are around the corner, Okada. Like, you had the Detroit Lions this week. Like, Okada, what are we doing with AJ Brown from a stance of, are we starting him this week? And what does the picture look like for the rest of the season before the trade deadline? If you're sitting with the bag, which is AJ Brown right now, what are we doing?
Okay. This is a very difficult one, Laquan, to assess. And I will tell you and our listeners up front, it is going to be a speculative answer. There's no proof for this. It's not based in data. But unfortunately, that's what we're dealing with on this situation. So I'll give you my I have speculations speculation. Here's how I feel. I have been arguing with some people over at the NFL where we work about Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. This is going to get to the point. Don't you worry. To me, Kyler Murray has a mental block against being a franchise quarterback because he does not have the grit, the determination, the hard work factor, that like Tom Brady gene where you're willing to sacrifice, put in the effort, get better, learn, push through difficult times, etc. He's a diva. And because of that, I have said now for a couple of years, I think that that is a major problem with why he can't end up being consistent in the NFL and why he ended up getting benched this year. And yes, it was a benching, not an injury. Oh, they used the injury as a cover-up. Okay.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, on the other hand, he is a grinder. He works hard. He's a competitor. He cares about winning football games, and he will do whatever it takes to make that happen. When you think back to, like, you've seen the clip of Matthew Stafford playing through that shoulder injury when he was on the Lions. Like, that's the Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford kind of thing. Kyler Murray would never do that. Now I'll bring it back. I'm bringing it back. To me, AJ Brown has that problem, the Kyler Murray problem. And Devontae Smith gives me the Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford impression.
Like how you did that.
So what happens is when a guy acts like AJ Brown long enough, your team starts to get frustrated with you. Your team stops using you. You just get worse because you're not putting in the work. I think Kyler Murray relies on his athletic ability and he doesn't put in the work. And I think AJ Brown, when he doesn't get featured like he wants to, stops caring and stops putting in the work as much. And so then he gets actually worse on the field and his teammates start appreciating his contributions less. And so then he gets he contributes less in general because he's not playing as well. I think, and by the way, just like random connection here, and I'm not saying I hate video games. I love video games. But Kyler Murray, well known for being a Call of Duty problem. Let it be known that he ended up on IR a week before the new Call of Duty game released. Coincidence?
Insane timing, folks. Insane timing. It always lines up somehow, some way.
Now you got AJ Brown spewing his mouth on Madden playing video games. Like, there's just a level of professionalism and dedication to your craft that I think is missing with these players. Because of all of that, this has been long-winded. So I apologize, but this is my only way to explain the situation.
Yeah.
I think that the Eagles are kind of done with AJ Brown's crap. And I don't see this as a squeaky wheel situation. Because those are your two options. Either this is a super, like the squeakiest wheel that's maybe ever happened. And the Eagles say, holy cannoli, well, all right, fine, we'll feed you. Or they're just done with his nonsense. They're tired of the way that he, you know, brings down the team vibe and professionalism and all this stuff, competitiveness. And they're just not willing to use him. And meanwhile, Devontae Smith is playing like a wide receiver one. So don't know that you really need to. Like, throw AJ Brown out there as a decoy and just rely on Devontae Smith. And by the way, the team is winning games. And AJ Brown said, I don't know if he said it in the Madden call or if he said it in the meeting that they had in the locker room, but he basically said, I don't care that we're winning games. That's not enough. We need to be winning games and I need to be contributing because that's how it works. Nah, no, incorrect, AJ Brown. You will play for a football team who is their sole goal is to win games. By the way, you were not very good last year for long stretches and your team won the Super Bowl. So I don't care if you're not getting targets. I don't care if you're not scoring touchdowns. Your team is winning football games. Get over yourself. That's my take on the situation. I'm trying to get out of A.J. Brown if I can, but I don't know if you can get out of A.J. Brown for a reasonable price, so it's tough. I'll stop talking.
Listen, I think A.J. Brown made the mistake just this season. I'm not going to speak on last season when he was on the sideline reading the Book of Excellence and all that other stuff. I'm speaking on this season. He should never displayed his frustration publicly, right? Because Okada, me and you know, last season he was on pace if he didn't get injured for 1,400 plus yards, 9 plus touchdowns. We have document proof that A.J. Brown can be in wide receiver one and return wide receiver one production for fantasy. So check and check. Where he messed up at is showing frustration publicly now that's causing a distraction to the team that is winning right now. Bro, leave folks like me and Okada that sit here on the mics, lights, camera, and action complain all day because we're directly impacted from the lack of production. You don't need to go out there and say anything because you already got the dogs in the back barking for you. Let me crash out on the NFL Fantasy Podcast or the FTN Fantasy Podcast anywhere I'm at where I have a microphone because I have you in so many leagues. So I'm trying to be as loud as I can of my frustration and the play calling, the lack of target share. Do you know that A.J. Brown right now is on pace for a career low in receiving yards? He's averaging 51 receiving yards per game, folks. That's 37th among wide receivers right now. That is real nasty work. Anybody with eyes, anybody directly impacted by fantasy will be online, like I've been for the last couple of weeks, screaming, what is going on with A.J. Brown? What is this? What am I watching? But I do think, and I will say this, Okada, I think what follows after the public display of frustrations and crash outs, we do get a squeaky wheel game. We do get that decent production. Week 6 and 7, we saw those on the rise, right? We saw a couple of touchdowns. We saw a 100-yard game. Like, things were looking good before the bye, and then he got injured. But again, you can't predict injury. But I would say this. They have the Lions coming in town this week, Okada. This is a top 5 offense, yards per play, points per game. The points margin is top 5. They are putting belt to ass to defenses. If they do not send that bat signal out for Swole Batman to show up and show out in this game, they will lose an important game at home. This is not a game that I think the Eagles can go out there and afford to lose because this Eagles defense is middle of the pack. This defense ain't what it was last year. They're not even half of what they were 2 years ago in terms of this defense in major categories. So looking at what this is sizing up to be, they have to get A.J. Brown in stored. Like, I think I can confidently start him this week. I think this will be the only week where, like, hey, I painted this picture in my head. Like, this is a Lions offense that's going to put up a lot of points early and often. They have to find a way to get A.J. Brown to contribute big in this game, Okada.
I mean, I hope so. I hope so.
You and me are the Ben Affleck picture meme outside with the cigarette just like, or the one lady outside of Popeye's just stressed out holding A.J. Brown before the deadline. Like, folks, like, if you can get A.J. Brown off your roster to acquire anything, like, I'm talking like almost near the Garrett Wilson level of just getting away from your stress and frustrations on a week-to-week basis, I would do it. Okada, like, I really would. Like, I would really take that middle bar trade, that low bar trade to kind of just get away from this situation because it's going to be a headache. And especially for the teams that are in the middle of the pack, it's like, we got to make some, you know, moves.
By the way, I will say this worth noting about A.J. Brown. Even when he is properly involved in the offense, he is a inconsistent player for fantasy. He has huge games and then he has not so great games, and he plays on an offense that doesn't throw the ball that much, so that's part of that, even when he is getting his proper target share. So like, even if the squeaky wheel comes and he has a good game, there are going to be other games this year where he's very bad and hurts your lineup. I would rather have someone consistent. You tell me if this is even close for you, because I know you don't particularly like this guy, or at least you did in draft season, but I'd rather have Ladd McConkey by 80 miles right now.
Yes. Admittedly, yes. Okay. Absolutely. Give me Ladd. If I can get Ladd, I'm running away with the bag. I mean, even if I could do a same team trade, if I can get Devontae Smith in return, if they even think in their head there's going to be a turn, I would do that trade. I'm going as low, Okada, Like, if I can come away with a Tetero McMillan, that's how low I'm willing to go. If I can get away with a Keenan Allen, that's how low I'm willing to go to get this headache and parasite off of my fantasy roster that's holding back my roster, essentially.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, man. Listen, I can rant on and on. On and on about this AJ Brown situation. But listen, the winter is coming, and we have one Joe, the other Joe, I like to call him now, because Pretty Flacco has been balling. But Joe Burrow, they're opening up that 21-day window for him to return back to practice, maybe get back in action. This is actually on track. I don't know why some folks were a little bit surprised, like, oh my God, Joe Burrow's coming back? Yeah, there needs to be a window for him to come back. It's not like it's going to be December 1st. And he just comes that Sunday and play. Like, no, there needs to be some type of window for him to come back, a turf toe. What do you do as a manager right now with Joe Burrow? You're waiting for him to come back off of the injured reserve on a lot of fantasy rosters. The fantasy playoffs will be around the corner, if not posturing right then and there. You know when you're in the playoffs or not. But if I have Joe Burrow, could you rely on him as a starter on the back end of the fantasy season, fantasy playoffs?
Yes. And here's what I'll say. I actually got a good amount of questions about Joe Burrow on a trade AMA, a Discord trade AMA that I do every Wednesday, because people are wondering, should they go out and get him? And in some leagues, he's even on waiver wires, particularly leagues with IR spots.
Yeah.
If you have him, particularly if you've had him in an IR spot, you're obviously holding now because the time has almost come. And yes, I think you'll be able to play him. Worst case scenario, Laquan, he comes back. Actually, the worst case scenario is that the Bengals lose two or three more games before he comes back and they decide their season is shot and they don't play him. But at that point, you can drop him. You've been holding him. You keep holding him until then, and then you drop him. The more realistic worst case scenario is that he comes back, gets re-injured, because, you know, these toe things can be problematic. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, you go back to the guy you were streaming with or the guy you picked up. But if neither of those things happen and Joe Burrow comes back and is healthy as the starting quarterback for Cincinnati, he might set some records over the last month of the season, because the Bengals defense is booty. It's not hard to know how well he will do, Laquan, because all you have to do is look at Joe Flacco's game logs. And it's pretty easy to see if Joe Flacco can do that, Joe Burrow can do that. In fact, Joe Burrow can probably do better. And Joe Flacco has been amazing for fantasy because he has to be with this defense. These games, these Bengals games, are 40-40 barn burners every single week. It's going to be the same thing when Joe Burrow comes back. So if you have him, you're going to keep holding him, of course. If he's on waivers, I would like to pick him up. I had some people who were like, I have Jackson Dart, and I could also get Joe Burrow, which means I need to carry a third quarterback this week because Jackson Dart might not play. And I was like, I might even be willing to do that. I typically hate having three quarterbacks, but if you need to play stream a quarterback for 1 week this week, then you drop them next week and go back to playing Jackson Dart until Joe Burrow gets back. But then you have your Joe Burrow for the playoff stretch. I'd be willing to do that. And if someone's willing to trade him, I don't know what the pieces would be to acquire Joe Burrow, because such a weird situation to make a trade for. But if you can give a low-end piece of some kind to get him and you're hurting at quarterback and you can stash him away, I would absolutely do that, because I think when healthy over the last month of the year, he will be insane in this offense.
It's funny you say that, because I've seen other trades that involve the Jaden Daniels, involve the Brock Purdy, even in terms of right before the trade deadline. These are quarterbacks that essentially will be coming back either to a team that is all hell's lost and a team that is actually on the up and up. So I think fantasy wise in the fantasy playoffs, it's good to have your starting quarterback be a guy that's returning back to something positive in terms of the offense. You know, like having Joe Burrow coming back to a Jamar Chase and T. Higgins already hot and bothered and warmed up with a Joe Flacco that's been slinging it since week six. I mean, he's been a top seven quarterback since then. I mean, 24 fantasy points per game. Pretty impressive by Mr. Old Man Joe. I mean, listen, he needs to stop getting phone calls after this season, okay? Let Joe rest. How many times he has to come out and save these teams from injuries, bro? He is done. He's tired, bro. He needs to take a nap every time he is on the sideline. I'm like, man, it's amazing to see him do the things he do. I actually have Joe Flacco in a lot of my leagues, man, because your boy was hurting at the quarterback position, just like everybody else. But next, we're about to get into the Ask the Fantasy Streets. This is a Q&A mailbag from you, the Fantasy Streets, the Fantasy community, the people and the folks that listen to the pod. We got some great questions this week. Let me start you off with one, Okada. Mr. Writer Wright, okay? This is my guy. This is actually the second time he's DM'd me back-to-back weeks. I think he is following the podcast. I think he is subscribed. If you're not, my brother, and you're hearing this, lock in, brother, okay? Hit that subscribe button. But now we have a trade. He sends Rashid Shaheed and Wandale Robinson for Jaylen Warren and Jameson Williams. Without context, it wasn't given to me, but without context, how do you feel about this trade?
I feel pretty good about it, actually. And I'll give some qualifiers. Number one, usually when you are the team getting an extra running back, it's typically better for fantasy purposes. There are some situations where you have a gazillion running backs and you're hurting a wide receiver. Maybe that's what the other team has going on here. But generally, if you're picking up a free running back, that's a good thing. So you're trading two receivers, getting a running back and a receiver. I like that. I also think, while I don't love Jameson Williams, and I think he's going to be very, very inconsistent rest of season, I think he's basically Rashid Shaheed, maybe better Rashid Shaheed, like almost the same thing.
Yeah.
So that's a wash, if not an upgrade from Shaheed to Jameson. And then you're going from Wandale to Warren. I like that a lot, especially this week. Getting Jaylen Warren for this week alone is going to give you a win this week because he is playing the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it many times now this year, Laquan. This defense stinks. It particularly stinks against running backs and tight ends. They are allowing the most points to running backs. And there's a very good example of what Jaylen Warren might do to the Cincinnati Bengals, Laquan. You want to know what it is? It's Jaylen Warren this year against the Cincinnati Bengals like a month ago when he had 127 rushing yards and 31 receiving yards on 20 touches. Boy,
Cook, yes.
He didn't even score a touchdown, and he still had almost 18 fantasy points in half PPR. He's going to do that again. I would not be surprised if he scored a touchdown this week. I would set the over-under for Jaylen Warren's fantasy points at like 19.5, and I would probably take the over. So you're getting a sick play this week, and everything else in the trade is somewhere between even or a win. So I like making it.
Ryder, make the right choice. Lock it in. Love it. Now another one. Mr. Five-Star Season. This is also a returnee. I think he was on last week's pod with a question. He is back. He is 7-3, Okada. He is sending Jamar Chase for Javonte Williams, Jalen Waddle, and Khalil Shakir.
Whoa.
What is this reaction? Okay, this is great. I love that that is your hesitation reaction. Most folks would see this trade and be like, wow, I'm getting three players, and I'm only sending one. So this reaction is hesitant for a reason because, folks, lock in real quick. Go ahead, Okada.
The primary thing to say here, Laquan, is that is a very reasonable mindset based on most things in the world, the way that most things in the world work. If you trade one thing and you get three things back, that sounds like a good thing. Here's the problem. In fantasy, it's usually the opposite because usually you're giving up the best asset by far and getting a bunch of meh assets. And what you have to think about with these kind of trades is you're not just trading Jamar Chase and nothing for Javonte, Waddle, and Shakir. Because number one, you're dropping two other players to make this happen because you have to fit them all into your lineup. Number two, these guys you're getting are slotting into other players in your starting lineup. So it's almost like you're, in a way, trading them away because you're moving them out of your lineup and you're moving these guys in over them. So the way you actually have to think about it is Jamar Chase is going away. Waddle, let's say Waddle is the main guy who's coming back as the replacement. That is a downgrade from Chase to Waddle.
Yeah.
That is a downgrade of how many points per week? Maybe five, something like
that. That's a lot. That's a lot, folks.
That's a lot. So then you have to ask, are these other guys going to add that much going into my lineup over the guys they're going in over? Because if you have a bunch of players who are scoring the same numbers weekly as Javonte and Shakir, and you're putting them in your lineup over those guys now, you're not actually gaining anything. You're actually losing 5 points a week. So the 3-for-1 thing is really tough. All that being said, Laquan, this is one where I might like the 3.
Really?
Because I really like Jaylen Waddle. I think he is a strong wide receiver too. It's still a huge downgrade from Jamar, but I think he's a strong wide receiver too. Javonte is a straight up running back 1 that you're getting for free. And then Khalil Shakir, I don't really care about, except for the fact that he put his wide receivers in this question. Jamar, Marvin Harrison, Alec Pierce, and Deebo Samuel. Marvin Harrison is hurt. He's going to be out this week. He might miss another week or two. Technically, it's not hurt. He had an appendicitis, but he's out. Alec Pierce, I like him quite a bit, but he's been, you know, he's inconsistent. He's a guy who's going to have big weeks and down weeks, whereas Khalil Shakir is much more reliable. He's not going to have the ceiling that Alec Pierce does, but he's more reliable. And then Deebo Samuel, I just don't really trust. So you might be starting Khalil Shakir pretty often. In fact, you probably are going to be starting Khalil Shakir quite often. So you're getting most likely 3 starters, and I think Javonte Williams is probably a big upgrade over your running back 2. And I think Khalil Shakir is probably going to fit into your lineup over Alec Pierce and Deebo some weeks, depending on matchups. I think that will make up for the drop from Chase to Waddle. I would be open to doing this.
All right, 5-star. I hope you heard that, and I hope you were making that trade, because honestly, a 3-for-1 for Jamar Chase, and you're filling other holes, and you're starting these guys immediately, you're getting immediate impact, right? You're not having these guys sitting, waiting around to get into your starting lineup. So Okada likes it. I love it, man. So we got one last one. Max Serva, all right? Another returnee. He's been in my DMs for the last couple of weeks, man. Love this kid, man. He is really, really invested into fantasy. Like, he is one of those guys that's trying to win his league each and every single year. But he has a big trade, and this is a big trade because you're letting go of somebody that he's probably drafted in the first 5 picks of the draft. CeeDee Lamb for Justin Jefferson and Bucky Irvin. Okada.
Oh,
what are we doing?
Wow. Okay. So this obviously depends massively on whether Bucky Irving is coming back anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he should be back in week 12 from what we're hearing right now, but it's been very off and on now for like almost 2 months.
Yeah.
And we have not got a lot of very confident news or encouragement. It's kind of like the Ricky Pearsall situation and Brock Purdy.
Right. Right.
The question is, are you willing to take the risk that Bucky Irving doesn't come back for 2 or 3 or 4 more weeks, or never comes back at all, and they just shut him down? Like, that could happen. Are you willing to take that risk to get 2 great players, 2 excellent players for CeeDee Lamb? Now, the other component of this, I will say, is the Justin Jefferson situation. How do you feel about Justin Jefferson? I think there are 2 ways to feel about Justin Jefferson right now. One is J.J. McCarthy is not throwing the ball enough and not supporting his receivers enough for Justin Jefferson to be great. Obviously, he's going to be the number 1 receiver on that team, but like, he had 12 targets last week. Sounds great, but he had 5.7 fantasy points in half PPR because he only caught 4 for 37. He scored only 2 touchdowns all year. Both of them came from McCarthy, but that's not enough. He's, you know, like, you just look at his half PPR points the last month, 5.7, 13.7, 10.9, 10.4. That's very discouraging. That's not enough for a true, true wide receiver 1. So all of that's a little concerning. However, the flip side of that is his last 4 games. Well, this week he gets the Bears, which is great. He scored a touchdown against the Bears with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback in week 1. So that's a really nice matchup. And then the last month, Laquan, Commanders, Cowboys, Giants, Lions. That is a juicy matchup. That is the greenest final month of the season you're going to find.
Championship.
Yes, there's a good chance that if Justin Jefferson catches fire and can figure himself out with J.J. McCarthy, and J.J. McCarthy starts producing for his wideouts, that Justin Jefferson wins some leagues down the stretch. So there are 2 like competing sides to the Justin Jefferson situation right now. It's really tough to know which one to trust. ultimately, I believe I would be willing to take the risk and make this move because we play this game to win championships, Laquan.
Yes.
We don't play this game to get fourth place. We don't play this game to make the playoffs and lose in the quarterfinals.
Fact.
We play this game to win championships. This trade, while there is a chance it hurts you and you end up missing playoffs as a result or losing in the quarterfinals, there is a chance that happens. There is also a very good chance, if things go even decently well for these two players you're acquiring, that this wins you the championship because yes. You get a receiver that's basically as good as CeeDee Lamb down the stretch and get a free fringe RB1 for the rest of the year if Bucky comes back healthy, which is insane. So fire. I'm willing to take the risk, make this happen, and go for the ship.
Lock it in, Max. Lock it in, man. I really hope that you are hearing this pod now and you are locking it in. I'd like that you like to make trades marinate. Make your league mate sweat. I tried it with Okada, but he worked very fast. So hopefully you are not trying to make a trade with Mr. Matthew Okada. Because listen, my boy wasted no time. This was less than a SpongeBob episode, man. I'm sitting here chilling like, oh, you guys go ahead and watch the last pod. You know where I'm talking about. But man, Okada, this has been a great episode, man. We helped a lot of folks with the trade talk. Guys, make sure you guys and gals, I should say, make sure you are locking into the FTN Fantasy Show each and every week. We love to hear your questions. We love to help you out with trade advice. We are here. We are the people for the fantasy streets. Okada, any closing arguments?
Make some trades. They don't have to be the ones that we talked about on this podcast, but if you have other questions or you want to send your roster and get some thoughts, my DMs are open. I assume your TikTok comments are open, Laquan.
Oh yeah,
hop in. Let us know what you're targeting, what you're trying to do to make these final moves and hopefully win the championship. Because moves at this time of year will do that for you very often.
Yes. Wake up your commissioner. Wake up your league mates. Let's get active. Start wheeling and dealing. The trade deadline is here, folks. It is coming for some folks next week. So please make sure you guys are locked into the FTN Fantasy Show to give you the latest and greatest fantasy advice. So we'll see you guys next week. Peace.